Job chapter 36, verse 1 to 37, verse 24. Elihu, the conclusion of Elihu's discourse. In these two chapters, again as before, there is a good deal of wheat, but there is some chaff too, and it's not always easy to sort the wheat from the chaff. We must also bear in mind that Elihu is speaking many, many years in the past, way back in antiquity. I'm speaking to you now in the days of the New Covenant, of the Gospel, the full revelation of Scripture. But there are principles that Elihu brings out that can be and must be used today in the Gospel discourse. Let us look at what Elihu says. This is the third time we've looked at Elihu, and we conclude his long discourse in this short address now. He starts like this, chapter 36, "Bear with me a little longer, and I will show you that there is more to be said on God's behalf." And then he comes to a statement which I'm bound to smile at and dismiss. "I get my knowledge from afar, well, yes. I will ascribe justice to my Maker, yes, yes, I can go along with that. But now, verse 4 of chapter 36, be assured that my words are not false." Let's hope so, Elihu. Let's hope so. "Be assured that my words are not false. One perfect in knowledge is with you." Well, he doesn't have a very small opinion of himself, does he? He hasn't got an inferiority complex, whatever else he's got. Oh, Elihu, one perfect in knowledge. God deliver us from thinking of that. I address my brothers and sisters in Christ. God deliver us from thinking like that. An unbeliever, I hope you're wise enough to know that you don't know it all. Look at Elihu here. You can see him tapping his chest a bit. "Be assured that my words are not false. What I'm telling you is the truth. And one perfect in knowledge is with you. As believers," I address those of you who are believers, "we know Acts 17:11. We want to be like the Bereans. We want to search the scriptures to see what men tell us and see if it is so. How many just buy into every confession just because it's old? They buy into any confession, it seems to me, or the one that they're born into, just because it's there. One perfect in knowledge. No, no, no. No man is perfect in knowledge. Only God is. But then he comes to speak of God. God is mighty. Verse 5. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, God is mighty. And Elihu has a great deal to say, and it's excellent stuff, on the glory, the majesty, the power, the infinite nature of God, the holiness of God, the immensity of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. But he has this to say too, and he's so right, it's so wonderful. Verse 5 of chapter 36, "God is mighty, but does not despise men." He is mighty and firm in his purpose, but he knows what's going on. If you look at the rest of this passage here in chapter 36, Elihu says God is interested in men. He knows what's going on. He doesn't take his eyes off the righteous. He knows what's going on in the affairs of men. He sees kings on their throne. He sees prisoners in their chains. He knows what they've done. And he speaks to them. He speaks into men's hearts. He convinces them of sin. He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. In the days of the Gospel, as I'm speaking, my mind goes to Acts 17. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Elihu is speaking to you, unbelieving friend. I'm speaking to you. God is speaking to you through his word. God commands all men, and that's you. That includes you. It includes me. I'm a sinner too. And we all need to turn to God, to confess our sin, to admit our sin, to own it, to recognize it, and to recognize we don't recognize it enough. He commands men to listen to correction. Verse 10, he makes them listen to correction, and he commands them to repent of their evil. God commands you to repent. Have you repented? Or are you still disobeying his command? If they obey and serve him, Elihu goes on to speak of the prosperity that they were getting. Of course, he's speaking in those olden days. What do I offer you? Well, I offer you nothing except what Christ offers you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes us, cleanses us from all sin. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will listen to it, and if you will repent of your sin, and turn to Christ and trust him, I assure you on the basis of God's word, it's not because I'm perfect in knowledge, I'm not saying that, but God in his word tells you, if you trust the Lord Jesus, you will be everlastingly saved. But verse 12, if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. And if you refuse to repent, you will perish. John chapter 3. Christ says it. This is the great sin, unbelief. The Spirit convinces men of sin because they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not trust him. That's you, my friend. The godless in heart, verse 13, harbor resentment. You harbor resentment against God, against gospel preaching, and against gospel preachers. Even when he fetters them, they do not cry for help. Are you stubborn against God? They die in their youth, some do. Some live out a life of sin, and Elihu spells it out, a terrible life of sin. You may not be like that, you may be respectable, but nevertheless, outside of Christ, we're all dead in our sins. But those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction. I address Christians listening to me, believers, true believers. You've been afflicted, you've been down, but God has comforted you. Hadn't he? He's comforted you in all your discomfort, in all your trials. And in fact, he comforts you, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He comforts you so that you can comfort others. Verse 16, he is wooing you from the jaws of distress. I come back to you, unbeliever. God is wooing you today. He's offering you mercy. Come unto me, he is saying. Look unto me and be saved. He stands ready, willing to save. Romans chapter 10, the last verse. All day long he stretches out his hands, his arms to people, pleading with them to come. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He delights in saving sinners and showing mercy. I have scripture after scripture to prove it. Ezekiel, 2 Peter, and so on and so on. Many places. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction. And so on. Now Elihu had material things in mind. But I can assure you that there is liberty in Christ. Outside of Christ is slavery and bondage to Satan and captive to his will, 2 Timothy chapter 2. But in Christ there is liberty. Liberty, freedom from death, sin, law, condemnation, the wrath of God, hell itself. But now you are laden with the judgment due to the wicked. Judgment is on the road. Justice is on the road. The wrath of God is coming. Will you not repent and believe? Elihu presses on. Don't be enticed. Don't let anything turn you aside from this. Do not long for the night and long for sin and so on. Beware of turning to evil. Getting back to Job, Elihu has got Job wrong here. Job is not longing for evil. He doesn't want evil instead of affliction, verse 21 of chapter 36. As I say, there's chaff here, but there's much wheat. And then comes an extended passage from chapter 36, verse 22, virtually to the end of his discourse in chapter 37, at the end there. What is this discourse about? What is Elihu saying? He's speaking of the immensity of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, in nature, in storms, in tempests, in earthquakes, in clouds, in rain, in heat. He gives picture after picture. Graphic, vivid illustration. The heat of summer drives us to try to seek for shade and coolness. But then the depth of winter make us shroud ourselves in clothes to keep warm. I'm speaking in the United Kingdom in January. It's frosty, it's foggy, it's cold. But the sun comes out, and the sun is gaining in power as the day lengthens. It won't be long now, not many days, not many weeks now. And the heat will be almost unbearable. And this is a temperate climate. Some of you live in parts of the world where it's very, very hot. And it's very, very cold. I live in a part of the world where it's almost equal night and day. They change throughout the year, but it moves. Some of you live in virtually equal night and day. Some of you live in long periods of night and long periods of day. The immensity, the wonder of it all, the nature we see around us, the universe. And people tell us all luck and chance that this globe is just in this spot in the universe. If it had been any nearer the sun, we should be frazzled to a cinder. If we were any further from the sun, we should be frozen solid ice. And yet, luck and chance would have it, they tell us, that we're just in the right place with the right mixture of this and that and the other to make life as it is. No, no, my friend. Elihu is telling us. The psalmist is telling us. Listen to this. God is speaking. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day and night cry out incessantly. This is God's work. The stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, the little creatures on the earth, the great creatures, the seas, the oceans, the depths of the oceans, and so on and so on. God Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. He comes in splendor. Unbeliever, learn this. Look at the heavens and see, and bow the knee, not to the heavens, but to the God who created the heavens, and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and receive him. Therefore men revere him. For does he not have regard for all the wise in heart? God will have mercy upon you, my friend. Let Elihu speak to us. Brother and sister, lift up your hearts to this glorious God, for this God is our God, and she shall be our God forever and ever. An unbeliever, I appeal to you once more. Even now, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Bow before this immense God. He is mighty to crush, but he is mighty to save. Do not come under his wrath. Do not stay under his wrath where you are there already. Do not come under his everlasting wrath in damnation. Do not enter eternity in wrath. That's what I'm saying. Enter eternity by beginning now in Christ. Now is the day. Bow the knee now. Open the heart now. God stands willing. God stands ready. Jesus willing. Jesus able. Ready to save you. I appeal to you. Come to him now, and he will receive you. Do not refuse him, or else you will perish.